Hey, gang. Welcome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. This is Patrick Slattery, and today I'm here with news and views and accepting callers. Our call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And today is Wednesday, December 6, 2017. Just past noon in the Central Time Zone. So, lots going on. I guess the headline story today is the announcement, which I'm not sure if it's happened. I've been busy all morning, but the announcement that is supposedly pending today about moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the U.S. Embassy in Israel. Now, as I said on other programs earlier this morning, I think it's stupid. It's a stupid idea, and it wouldn't be surprising if some truck of peace blows up in New York or something like that. There might be some sort of terroristic attack over it. You know, why? What does it really constitute, though? We have an embassy in Tel Aviv, and I suppose our building in Jerusalem would be a consulate office, and it would basically be switching the nameplates. I don't think there's new construction being planned. Could happen. Who knows? Is it that big of a deal? You know, why isn't the embassy in Jerusalem in the first place if this is the Israeli capital? Don't we keep capitals in embassies? Well, of course, Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, I suppose, they're like 30 minutes away from each other on the highway. I don't know. They're pretty close. Israel is about the size of New Jersey, and Jerusalem is more or less in the middle of it on a north-south axis. And it's more or less halfway between the ocean and the river, or the ocean and the Dead Sea. In fact, it's probably closer to the ocean, whereas Tel Aviv is more or less in the middle of the country and on the ocean. So you're really not talking about very far. You know, maybe like getting from Trenton, New Jersey to Asbury Park, New Jersey, if you want to put it in New Jersey terms. It's not very far. So isn't that big of a deal? Why wasn't it in Jerusalem in the first place? Well, there's this technicality. Of course, Israel was formed out of the mandate of Palestine. So after World War I, some of the Ottoman Empire provinces in the Middle East were carved out of the Ottoman Empire. The rump of the Ottoman Empire became the Turkish Republic. And these provinces were distributed to France and Britain, and maybe a little bit went into what became Saudi Arabia, but they were distributed to France and Britain as mandates, as League of Nations mandates. This was the League of Nations, and what wound up becoming Iraq and also Kuwait, and Kuwait was carved out of one of, I guess it's the, not Mosul, it's the one of the southern provinces of what became Iraq. So that's Iraq and Jordan and what became Kuwait were British mandates. And Syria and Lebanon were French mandates. And of course, actually, Jordan and Palestine, what became known as Palestine, they were became two separate mandates, along with they had been the Syrian province. There was a province of Syria, and Palestine was just a region of, I'm sorry, yeah, there's been a province of Syria, and that was carved up into Syria and Lebanon and Palestine and Transjordan. Those were the four mandates carved out of the Ottoman province of Syria. And then the mandate of Palestine, which is now Israel plus the so-called occupied territories, there was no resolution for that that was agreed on by all parties. The last UN plan for it before a de facto settlement came by means of civil war, the last UN plan for it had the land more or less, it was divided into about seven zones, three of which were barely contiguous with each other, were to be Israel, three more were to be Palestine, and then Jerusalem was to be the international city. And this is why the issue of Jerusalem as the capital has been problematic, because Israel's never recognized its own borders. It never has. And if you go into a Jewish day school and you look at the map on the wall, you'll notice that there's no western border, or I'm sorry, no eastern border. The western border is the sea. There's no eastern border. That's very bizarre. So Jerusalem, the status of Jerusalem has always been formally in question. It was supposed to be an international city that Muslims and Jews and Christians would all have access to. But for the first 19 years after the war of 1948, for those first 19 years, it was divided in East and West. West was Israel, and it was modern, and it was new. It was built up, and that's where they built their capital. And the eastern part was the old Jerusalem, and that was part of Jordan. And then in 1967, you had a war, and Israel conquered all of that part of what had been the mandate of Palestine that had been incorporated into Jordan. They conquered that area west of the Jordan River, so it's known as the West Bank. They have been occupying that, but they did annex what was Jerusalem, and of course no country recognized the annexation. So the whole status of Jerusalem is legally, you know, it's kind of limbo legally. In terms of facts on the ground, Israel has controlled it for the past 50 years, and they have been ethnically cleansing East Jerusalem steadily. It's making it impossible for Palestinians to build and to replace their houses as the houses get decrepit. They get bought up by Jews, and the Jews are expanding into it. I think it's a stupid move, but I don't think it's an earth-shaking move. Andrew Anglin has an article, where he asks, why should I care about this? And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it will draw some condemnation, but I don't think, unless there's a big terrorist event, I don't think there's going to be any real consequences. But let's see. I have a caller who is somebody with a lot of knowledge and ideas. It is Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show. What do you think of this move?
I like this in a way, Patrick, because the whole world should see what a absolutely Jewish-worshipping, philo-Semitic nation the United States is. I mean, if you've seen the votes, the way the United States constantly votes in the UN to go out of its way for everything Israel wants, to protect Israel, think of all the money we give annually to our highest foreign aid recipient, to Israel. The way, you know, we are a nation of Jewish worshipers. Mm-hmm. And like I said about Christmas, what do the Christians do? They put out a creche, and who do they celebrate? They celebrate the birth of their Jewish God, Jesus. Who do they, you know, always refer to in the media as their authorities? Jews, who run their TV stations, who runs their newspapers, who never says anything about it. The Gentiles never do. Most Gentiles, the stupid ones anyway. Mm-hmm. But again, this is further Jewish worship. Mm-hmm. In a sense, we might as well just... And one more thing. And then when Jews die in World War II, what do we do also? Oh, we make it mandatory to study the death of those Jews. And the death of those Jews is more important than the deaths of Gentiles.
Mm. And it's
called Holocaust Museum.
Study it, but illegal to question any aspect of it.
Exactly. And so let's just admit it. We might as well just come out. Maybe that's the way to deal with this. Instead of being anti-Semitic, maybe we should just go in, you know, go down to your center of the street in front of the synagogue and get on our hands and knees and just bow and worship to our Jewish masters. We let them run our banks. We never say a word about it. We let them get away with murdering the Romanovs and destroying Russia, or at least wrecking Russia for a while under Soviet communism, and we don't say a word about it. We let Jack the Ripper, he murders somebody in London, they cover up for him. We allow their molesters throughout the media to molest the Gentile actresses, and yet we'll find we won't point out their Jewishness.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'm saying. It's we worship Jews, and we just might as well come out. I don't. I'm an agnostic. I don't buy any of this. I'm a National Socialist. I worship our people. And I just think this is Christian Zionism, the extension of Christianity. It's also the extension of scientism and other beliefs that center around communism to a large extent. You know, centers around the Jewish authors and founders who started off those cults. And so this is just more of the same of living in a Jewish-dominated America. And that's all I really want to call about.
So you're saying you're glad about it because it will draw attention to basically how far we've sunk in terms of being dominated, not just dominated by Jews, but even kind of openly worshiping them.
In a sense, the whole world, at least we're being honest in this sense, you know, of what we're doing. I mean, and now it's, you know, we wreck Libya to make the Israel happy. We wreck Syria and side with terrorists to make Israel happy. That's all that matters. They're the center of the universe.
Okay, so, you know, I pretty much agree with everything you just said. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't know how you feel, but I know some of the people in our audience are going to look at Trump as being just a Jewish shill, and a Jewish shill from the beginning. And I don't look at it that way. I don't necessarily look at him as somebody who specifically was trying to overthrow Jewish power in the United States, but I look at him as somebody who at least was dedicated to an agenda that he knew would be opposed by Jewish power. And in particular, you know, clamping down severely on immigration, building a wall. And at least in the campaign, he did talk about an America First foreign policy, which is something that they don't like. America First, it explicitly means not Israel first. I look at Trump as not wanting to take on all of Jewish power at once, but I mean, he's willing to take on immigration, and he is willing to try to have a foreign policy that is America first, which would mean, at least from my point of view, and apparently from his point of view, having a healthy relationship with Russia. So there's a few things he's trying to do, but he's being, obviously, I mean, he's being shut down. He's not allowed to even talk to the Russians. If he talks to the Russians, it's a huge scandal. And his efforts so far at trying to close down illegal immigration, even illegal immigration, are being overturned by the courts, which are typically, I mean, the judiciary is pretty much Jewish dominated, although the judges who have actually issued
most of the injunctions, I think, are Orientals. But what it seems to me is he's playing this strategy where he is going to he thinks he needs to have a good relationship with Jewish Wall Street and with the Jewish Israel lobby in order to pursue immigration and a more rational foreign policy besides Israel. That's the way I see it. I don't know if you see it that way. What do you think?
Well, that would be the real politic or just being practical, and I agree with you on that. And I was a Trump supporter, and I still support him. And this, I just don't – I just think this is fulfilling a promise he did make to AIPAC and to the Israelis, because he had promised this mm-hmm. during his campaign.
He sure did.
And so, you know, if you want to be elected, you got to go kiss the ring of AIPAC. You have to. And that's, again, Jewish
power. And they still opposed him.
What?
I mean, they still opposed him. I mean, AIPAC is an organization that they didn't support Trump as an organization, but it probably going and kissing the ring probably muted their opposition, right?
Yeah, and it's a submission ritual anyway.
Yeah,
have to bow.
It is a ritual, just as going to the Wailing Wall and putting on the yarmulke is a ritual.
Everybody does it. So, in a sense, this is the world order. The Jews have the power, and Gentiles really don't want to depose that power. And so, if you know, I'm just pointing it out. Let's just all come out in public and say it. Mostly everybody in our culture worships Jews, from our religion to the money system to the media and to the government.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I'm going to go, Patrick, but thank you.
Well, thank you, Paul, for your call and your insights. Very much appreciated. Okay, and the line is open. If anybody else wants to ring in, it's 1-800-313-9443. So, like I say, I don't think it was a good move. I'm not happy about it. But being realistic, and I'm somebody who has this background of going out there on Palestinian solidarity demonstrations, and this is the last thing that those people would want. But when you get down to it, what can we really expect from – is there going to be any peace process in – the Middle East? No, it's all a fiction. They just are going to drag it out and drag it out and drag it out as they steadily ethnically cleanse the land that they want and foment war in neighboring countries like Syria and Iraq and Libya and just weaken their neighbors and expand slowly but surely. They have a very long-term plan, long-term view of history. They see themselves as having been around since, we know they've been around for over 3,000 years, and they probably see themselves as having been around since the beginning of time. So they're patient. So really, and what could we possibly expect from any kind of Middle East settlement, a peace process, while the United States is thoroughly occupied territory? We will be back right after the break.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Music. Let's go to our caller. Let's go to Murr from Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. What is on your
mind?
Is it
sunny there?
Yeah.
Is it sunny there?
Is it sunny? I don't know. I don't have a window.
Oh, that's cruel and unusual.
Well... So what's up?
You have a Mr. T though, right?
Mr. T, he's here. He's here. He was sharing my sandwiches.
Is he a black Labrador?
He is. He's a black poodle, and he's got a mohawk and facial hair, and he really does pity the fool.
Oh, thank you for filling me in on his looks. Now I can really imagine him. I heard him talking before.
Yeah, he's good. He's my friend.
I like him. He's nice. Poodles are nice. They don't shed, too, right?
That's not all it's cracked up to be, I'll tell you. I would much rather have him shed and vacuum up the hair than have to take him to a groomer and pay shell out all that money for his mohawks.
Wow. But
you do what you have to do.
Hey, yeah. I was going to say... Parasites aren't patient. They're persistent.
Okay.
And pharisaites the same. And there were no Jews back when Christ was living. He lived in Judea, like Texans live in Texas. There was no term for Jew back then. And what is practiced now is Phariseeism. They're still around, and they're the ones Christ warned about. Now, for Paul to equate Jesus as a Jew, that's what they want him to do.
Well, you know, on one level, I mean,
we went through this before.
I want to say that if people today, it's not just Paul. People today do equate him as a Jew. He is known as a Jew.
Whether he really meets a definition
that would be meaningful as a Jew is a different story. But you do agree that people today say that Jesus was a Jew, right?
That doesn't make it true. People say a lot of things. Pretty soon they're going to be saying pedophilia is good.
Yeah. But to say that, to say that worshiping Jesus, the worship of Jesus, people who think he's a Jew, if they think,
in spirit, this is where people get all screwed up. They mix religion with spirit, another Jew trick.
Mm-hmm.
We're spirits. Religion is like saying, okay, your body belongs to the hospital. Your spirit doesn't belong to a church. I mean, come on, people.
Okay. Well, as somebody who is not, as of yet, a spiritual or religious person, I'm not an authority to come
down.
Well,
you are a spiritual person. You may not recognize it, but you have a spirit.
As somebody who does not yet recognize my own spirituality, then I'm not much of an authority on the subject.
Well, none of us are. We're living here to learn, grow our spirits. That's why we're here. We choose to be here, to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then to recognize the parasites. Sooner or later, some of us do recognize some part of it. But it's so hard to recognize and realize the depth, fathom the depth of the evil. I mean, if they'll sacrifice children, what won't they do?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing, of course.
If people even mistakenly think of Jesus as a Jew and worship him, if people worship Einstein, Paul did mention science. I didn't push him on it, but you know, if you say science, everybody thinks of Einstein. Not that he was necessarily the greatest scientist, but we're taught to worship.
Einstein was a fraud foisted on us by the Jews.
So. His greater point was we're a country that is engaged in Jew worship no matter where you look.
Wasn't Paul the one said we should worship Darwinism? Wasn't he the one?
I don't know. And maybe he can call back or we can talk to him another time.
That's accepting another Jew lie. And see, here's the thing that's starting to really, really annoy me. I mean, we've known this. The psychological conditioning in Talmud stream media, every form of it, has been cranked up so high, you hear people call in and defend whatever they heard on that box or that radio. You know, some Jew learn stuff like Michael Savage Wiener as if he's some... Come on, they're so full of infiltrators. I see on RBN they had posted a Pam Geller article. I mean, she did the cartoonist thing with Gert Wilders and Garland in Garland,
right.
Texas. 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, she's anti-Islam, okay, which is fine.
Listen,
except she's anti-Islam because she's
pro-Judaism. Being superficial here. That's the thing. That's the problem. The depth of the evil is they have all these little Jew trolls running around in here that will rip off the whole world every chance they get because the poor deserve it.
Do you have more to say? Would you
like
to stick around?
I don't know if you want to hear it.
Okay, well, we'll see after the break.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back. And Murr, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So what do you have to tell me that I don't want to hear?
Well, I don't know if you don't want to hear it, but actually, you know, we need our spiritual anchor. And we have to raise our frequencies and keep them up to help everyone, ourselves and everyone else. And one way, part of the way of doing that that's essential is how we take care of our bodies that our spirits are in. You know, if we don't eat the sweets and the packaged processed stuff that acidifies our bodies, that acidity is a low frequency. It's low pH. It's a low frequency. If we eat healthy fats, you know, some, you know, people think that has to be of animal origin. I don't, but you know, most people that think they can't be vegetarians think it has to be grains and vegetables only. And they disconsider beans, but seeds and nuts, they're very essential. And you think about it, a walnut grows a whole big walnut tree, you know, and they're loaded with omega-3s. There's a reason it kind of looks like a brain, right? But, I mean, we need to take care of ourselves. And you get the ones that end up going into service, into military service, are really looking for family, you know. I mean, it starts with circumcision. We talk about this FGM that Talmud Stream Media wants everyone to talk about. That's not nearly as prevalent as we think. But circumcision of boys is. That's torture at birth.
It is, and I never
thought about it much. You say, oh, it makes good soldiers.
I never thought about it much, but David Duke told me that it really started in America after, well, I guess it maybe before World War II, but especially after World War II, because Jews were identifiable by their circumcised members and yeah. wanted to be able to be not physically identifiable. And so rather than ceasing their own genital mutilation, they inflicted genital mutilation on their goyim hosts.
See, what they say it makes good soldiers. In other words, it keeps families from bonding. First, you don't bond with the mother, which is essential. Look where that gets us, right? And then you can't bond with a mate. And it makes it easier to just increase the deception and mistrust of each other.
Mm. Yeah, I know people join the military for a variety of reasons, and I'm sure that's one of them. Economic reasons are another. Getting your life back together is another, because people in teenage years get involved in drugs, and sometimes the military looks like the only option to reimpose some sort of discipline in their life.
Why do all the drugs and all the other things happen? Because they don't have a good family basis, and this has been going on for generations. I mean, it was really done to the blacks originally, you know. I remember hearing this old black grandmother a while back saying, you know, slavery didn't make mothers be bad mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs did, you know. So they keep doing whatever pulls people apart. And, of course, taking the fathers out of the home, I mean, that's essential, you know, and demonizing them. But it's the media. And, you know, it's a mass control of people through the media. We don't need it. We need to turn it off. Get away from it. And I told you, I think, on here before, I think it's the only place I did say about how you could kind of wean yourself off of it. You know, mm-hmm. if it's on in the room and say you're not the only one there and someone wants a TV on, well, go in another room and read a book and just listen to the sound and notice how penetrating it is.
Yeah.
And then some other time, sit in front of it and mute it and just watch it. And see how effective that is. You see how the differences between the two of them together. You know, but they have sigil magic on all the evening news, right? So it puts you into alpha. You know, takes you out of beta.
Every now and then I'm stuck in a doctor's waiting room. And for whatever reason, they have those TVs on. And I want to study. I want to read. And it's completely impossible. And mm-hmm. these TV, you can receive the information that they're putting into your ears, but there's no, it almost prevents you from being able to think. You can't think. Receiving this information, and if you're watching the mainstream media, the information's misinformation and brainwashing.
Well, the subliminals are irrefutable by your subconscious. And then your subconscious becomes you. I mean, you see people go out and walk in nature and they're afraid. They don't know what they're afraid of, but they're afraid because they're out in nature. You know, it's wild. It's different.
Now, so I'm sure over the years you have seen a fair amount of TV, even if you try to avoid it. And there is something I was talking to last week, Mark Coletta, about, and this was the TV advertisements. And you've had this steady progression of TV advertisements where, you know, white people are made fun of and black people are put on a pedestal. And it's, you know, sometimes it's very explicit, sometimes it's much more subtle. But it's been steady. And now we're getting to the point where we have, I know Tucker Carlson covers it, and of course the Daily Stormer covers it, but you have student newspapers. There was a student newspaper at the University of Texas where an editorialist who was apparently Mexican or Hispanic called for the eradication of white people. He said that, you know, the white genome is a scourge. And somebody like that can do it. And he did lose his position at the newspaper, at the student newspaper, but continues to be a student there. Whereas, and this barely got mentioned in the news, this past spring, several white people who had been accepted to Harvard, and believe me, it's not easy for white people to get accepted to Harvard, they had their acceptances rescinded because of Facebook posts that were mildly pro-white. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Talk about most people believe, right? See how that happens? It's a communitarianism, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, people want to, oh, no, don't say that word. Well, why not? You know, it's a Jew, Werner Falk, who was a killer, in Israel and Palestine, soon as the British got them in there, which British are partly Jews too, but they were killing off the British to get them out, you know? And he was one of them. He was bombing them. His name is Amitai Etzioni, he took on now, you know. But he's been an instructor in, I think it's Georgetown, for many years, and he's the main communitarian pusher. But they have it as law in France.
Okay, so when you say communitarian, what are you referring to?
That everything has to be thought of as a community. In fact, he wrote a new golden rule, okay? It's not a one-on-one thing. It's community. What's better for the community?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question.
We're single individuals. See, this thing about most people believe and da-da-da, you know, it's, we've got to get back away from this group think and reclaim.
But here's a question for you. If we're in a society that is ruled by a Jewish community that is inciting, say, blacks to violence against whites based on a community identity, where you have, say, Latinos who are pushing as hard as they can for open borders based on a community identity, where everybody but whites are operating on a community basis against whites, and whites who don't have as much a communitarian tendency, if whites only operate on an individual basis, what's going to happen to whites?
Mm-hmm.
And so I am fully with you in terms of, like, my natural tendency is as an individual. I am not a natural born.
What term did we skip over?
It's not in the least bit natural to me.
What common term has been flushed? What did we used to say? We didn't say community. What did we say? Love thy neighbor as thyself? Neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to get rid of that? Because that's the real golden rule.
Well, maybe you don't have to get rid of it, but maybe you have to
think of the movie.
Consider
the
it
movie.
At the same time, you're considering that if you love your neighbor as thyself, but all your neighbors are looking at you as an enemy and operating on a group basis.
Move!
Hmm?
Then you move!
Well,
not your neighborhood.
Should we move?
I moved. I transplanted myself where I needed to be with the Spirit's help.
And people have been moving. And you think of the emptying out of the cities, and now you're having the emptying out of the suburbs. You have the, you know, the white flight. And is it really incumbent on us to continue moving and continue fleeing from cities that we built?
Is it fleeing or relocating? What do you really need to do? Are cities going to be functional?
I think it is fleeing.
Well, that's an opinion. But mm-hmm. this thing with the neighborhood, that was taken out with Jew movies. You got to think of this. These Pharisees have been around thousands of years. They keep coming back with different terms and changing terms, like queer to gay and things like that. But neighborhood, they killed in the 90s when they had their basketball movies and the hood and all this stuff and the hoodies and, you know, demonize neighborhood and replace it with community. It's what they do with all the words. And
neighborhood was nice when it was Mr. Rogers. you don't remember it, but Miss Eddie Murphy, the black comedian,
who I
always thought was very funny, but he had on Saturday Night Live.
I'm trying to forget.
I'm
trying to purge that crap out of my head. That's what people need to do. Stop taking it in and purge it out.
Well, they had Mr. Robinson's neighborhood, and, you know, in a way, it was making fun of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, which was...
Lord have Murphy.
Hmm?
Lord have Murphy. Remember that? The two-faced black woman?
I'm not sure if I do.
Instead of Lord have mercy, Lord have Murphy, toothless grandma. That was an Eddie Murphy thing.
Okay.
See, anything that degrades individuals and love, anything along those lines. That's why we have to get back to having a spiritual anchor, self-responsibility. Because if you don't trust any higher forces than what this magma is all over the place, you're in deep doo-doo.
Mm.
Hey, Patrick, I remember when you were on Farron's filling in for him, right?
Yeah.
You were talking, I forget who it was with, but you were talking about communitarianism all night that one night. I forget who it was you had as a guest.
I don't even remember myself talking about communitarianism. I do remember there is a caller who called in, and I guess it was when I was filling in for Farron, and he was using the term communitarian, and I wasn't
exactly
sure what he was referring
to. I heard that, too. This was a different episode. I did hear that, too, but this was a different episode. You went in quite depth, but I don't remember all of it, and I can't find, I think it was like April a year ago or something. Mm. I'm not sure. Yeah, but it was very interesting. But we just have to take self-responsibility and realize that we can connect with each other on a spiritual level. John Stattmiller had Gwyneth Isaacs that Vincent Finelli has on his show as one of his instructors, and she's from Australia. Mm-hmm. And her bit is tarot and all that. But deeper than that, she believes in Jesus Christ and knows that that's who you have to... See, people don't want to recognize the spirit. That's where they run into trouble. They want to think it's all five senses and that's it, and that's not near it at all.
Okay, you know? Well, I want to ask you, so what about the situation where white people are routinely demonized? Is there a rationale for white people standing up and claiming that their individual rights are being trampled on because of their identity as white people?
Is there
room for white people to organize as white people to push for white interests?
Listen, Patrick, you have to trust spirit and follow what you need to do. And these fellows at Stormfront, that's what they feel they need to do, and rallies like Charlottesville really brought it to light. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably in the long run a good thing, mm-hmm. you know. But it will be used by this Talmud stream media always. They, you know, like Rahm Emanuel, you have a crisis, they're going to spin it to however they can, right?
Well, I guess that's the expression he made famous was never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Isn't that what he said?
Right. But here's another thing. Okay, with these Pharisees, these Pharisites, not only are they persistent and not patient, but they can't create because that would help someone else. So all you have to do is step back and look for the patterns over time, over nations, the things they do. I mean, like what they did with China in the 1840s and had them addicted to opium.
Okay, so you had the Opium War, and it was a Jewish family that was behind it, right? The Sassoon family.
But see, it's not separate. It was involved with this country, too. See, that's the thing. We tend to think, okay, they were here, there, then. No, they're international globalists. They're working the whole world all the time.
And so you can see a very much of a parallel between the Opium War with this Jewish family and British power behind it in China in the 1840s. And
well, it's not just parallel, it's intertwined.
What's happening here and now with the new Opium War, the so-called opiate crisis, with the Sackler family of Purdue Pharmaceuticals is another Jewish family, and they've got the power of our American establishment behind them, and they've inflicted this opiate war on us.
What power do they have over all everyone else? It's the money. It's the mammon. It's the usury. They have that over everyone, and then they blend sodomy in there with it, and they destroy societies.
Yeah, and so when money is the basis of the exchange of goods and services needed to sustain life and livelihoods, that is a major power. That's an important power.
Well, like Jacob Javits, administrative assistant, Harold Wallace Rosenthal says, right, that they've converted the hardworking white people that enjoy making things into getting. And the moment you look for happiness outside yourself, we become their willing servants. And that's the truth of it.
So turning us from a producer society to a consumer society?
We'll produce, but they'll take it. That's all.
Elevating consumption over production?
Right.
Or it's consumption over something else.
It becomes a more vicious cycle. Becomes a more vicious cycle.
All right. Well, Mer, thank you very much for your call. I'm going
thank
to
you,
let you go. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back after the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Click on the donate button and send us a Christmas present. Send the network a Christmas present. I'm not asking for it. Okay, we have Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
Just had a comment on the word communitarian for a simple way to understand it. I think a lot of people, at least the way I've been told it by a great caller from Texas one time, but it's basically the system that they wanted. Basically, it's global corporatism, where if you took America from the 1950s, where you had small grocery stores, independently owned hardware stores, that was the free market. And then you had communism, where it was all centralized control. What they mean by communitarianism is their end goal was to merge the two systems and basically have the entire planet under a global, in between the two systems, and that's what we have basically in America today is a global corporate power structure. As far as I know, that's what people are talking about with communitarianism. It's not that they're against community. It's just, you know, like that's why every, you know, Home Depot is the hardware store. It's not Joe's Hardware, you know, because they're merging communism with free market and creating this corporate system.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to look into it after one of the callers a year ago was talking a great deal about it, and you know, I see some familiar names. You know, looking at the Wikipedia page for it, see some familiar names, and you know that there's kind of this ideology or this movement.
It's basically like the New World Order. It's kind of the same, you know.
I think people who understand what they're talking about, it means something to them. And I don't think everybody, I don't think everybody who uses the term uses it in the same way. And along with New World Order, I think it might mean something to somebody and something else to someone else. And it becomes a little bit fuzzy sometimes if you're really emphasizing it and the terms aren't understood between the speaker and the audience.
Exactly. I think you're right. I think there's not really a great word for it yet. Some people are saying communitarian, you got corporatism or the New World Order, and it's because it's not really, like, defined yet. But,
And that can be problematic. And, you know, I talk mostly about Jewish power. And it's not as if Jews have all the power, and it's not if Jews are the only problem. But it's big, and we're not going to solve all the other problems as long as we have the main power structure in our society operating on a basis of what's good for their tribe and with little consideration of what's good for the rest of the species and the rest of the planet.
And that's what a lot of people think, because who runs global corporatism is Jewish bankers, and then who run global communism, the Bolsheviks, were Jewish bankers. So people kind of see that. It's kind of like either way, if you merge the two systems, it's still a system of global Jewish money corporate dominance, you know?
Yeah, and if people understand that, and then they use terms like New World Order or communitarianism to try to further analyze it, that's one thing. But to use a term like, say, New World Order exclusively, it can obfuscate the Jewish nature of what's of the power structure. And so that's what we have to be careful of, I think.
I agree. All right. Yeah, that was my comment. Thanks. This was a great show today.
Well, thank you. And I'm very happy with this show. I'm very happy with Network for providing me this opportunity. And, well, I will be back again with another episode tomorrow. Bye.
Servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.